Thank you for listening to a message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. The following sermon was recorded during our Sunday morning worship service. The notes for this sermon are available on our website at www.manhattanchurch.org/sermon-notes. We hope that this message will be helpful to you and encourage you to explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
Scripture reading today is from Hebrews 10:19-39. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is in the habit of some, by encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those who treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have a need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls.
Good morning. We thank everyone for your presence here this morning. We know you could be someplace else enjoying the sunshine of this beautiful summer day, but you have chosen to be with us this morning, and we are grateful for that. We are missing Tom and Sonia because they are on vacation, and that's why I'm here this morning. We wish them all the best as they travel and enjoy a well-deserved vacation. About two or three weeks ago, Tom asked me if I would speak this morning in his absence. And the problem with having two or three weeks to prepare a sermon, you tend to have so many thoughts that, you know, you feel almost obligated to include them all. But let me put you at ease from the onset. I will not include all my thoughts that I garnered during the last 2 weeks. But I do hope that the ones that I share with you this morning will encourage you and build you up in the most holy faith. I don't know where you stand this morning, whether you are looking, you're not a Christian yet, maybe you're just looking and maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're struggling with your faith, but we just hope that this morning something we say might give you some encouragement, might strengthen you in some way, and just keep you along life's journey devoted to Almighty God. My wife whispered in my ear just before I came up here, and she said, I know that you don't have stage fright like me. And she reminded me of a story I read of a woman who walked into a room. She was going to, there was a meeting there, and she walked into a room, and there was a guy in the room, and he was just pacing up and down, pacing and pacing. And she said, "Why are you pacing? What is the problem?" And he said, "I have to give a speech." And she said, "Oh, so you're nervous?" And he said, "No, not at all. I'm never nervous giving a speech." And so she said, "Then why are you in the ladies' room?" I've chosen the topic this morning, Give Faith a Fighting Chance. And some of you may recognize those words as coming from a song sung by Leanne Womack entitled I Hope You Dance. It is a song that made its debut in 2000 and went to the top of the charts. The song goes like this. I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. You get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the chance, when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I hope you dance. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance. Never settle for the path of least resistance. Living might mean taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some hell-bent heart leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I hope you dance. Every time I hear that song, I hear not just a song, but a sermon. I must admit that I don't know Miss Womack's theology, but I do know that she sang another song entitled, There is a God. And even though that song didn't make it up the charts as I Hope You Dance, I think I'm okay using her lyrics to make plain my points. We've just come through a series of studies on the book of Revelation by Tom. We know that the message of the book of Revelation is a message of victory. It is a message of conquest, specifically the conquest by the Lamb of God and all who put their trust in him. In the book of Revelation, the angel wrote letters to seven churches in Asia Minor. Some churches received condemnation, some commendation, or a combination of both. But it didn't matter if that church was one who had lost its first love, or a church undergoing persecution, or a lukewarm church, or one tolerating a false doctrine, or one entertaining the practice of sexual sin, or a church that appeared alive but was dead. They were all told the same thing at the end of the letter: be victorious, and you will receive your reward. In a similar way, the book of Hebrews was written to Hebrew Christians who were struggling with their newfound faith. The message of the book is plain. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is preeminent. Jesus is God's son, and he's greater than the angels. God, who spoke to the prophets in former days, has in these last days spoken to us through his son. He is greater than Moses. Jesus said of himself that he was greater than the prophet Jonah and wiser than Solomon. And just as the people of Nineveh listened to Jonah and turned from their evil ways, and the queen of Sheba traveled far to hear the wisdom of Solomon, so too we ought to hear Jesus and be transformed by his teaching and wisdom. The Hebrew writer then turns to exhort the recipients of the letter to stay the course. They are encouraged to keep the faith in the one who shed his blood to take away their sins. They are cautioned against going back to their former position and urged to persevere with confident trust in the great high priest, Jesus Christ. They are reminded that this confident trust in the Lord has great reward. Concerning the faith, the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, 10 through 12, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming doubts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." And in his exhortation to Timothy, Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold to eternal life to which you were called, and about which you make the confession in the presence of many witnesses." And concerning himself, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing." So you get the picture, brothers and sisters, friends. We're not in a cakewalk, but a fight, a good fight. We have a faith worth fighting for. When I first heard the lyrics of Miss Womack's song, I thought to myself, how profound these words are. They are so pregnant with meaning that I soon sat down and analyzed what possible meanings the sentences of the song could have on the audience. I immediately knew that the words, "I hope you dance," was not talking about the Texas two-step. It was not talking about ballet dancing or jazz or hip-hop or any other style of dancing. She was saying that when you have a decision to make, when it's time for action, when faced with a critical or urgent situation, don't just sit on the sidelines. Make a decision. Take action, even if it's difficult. Folks, we'll be faced with many decisions concerning our faith as we go along. We'll have many challenges to our faith with time. Some challenges will come as a result of good circumstances as well as bad circumstances. Some tests will come from within, and some will come from without. I now have been made to understand that one of the writers of the song "I Hope You Danced" I hope you dance, penned it when she was going through a tough divorce. She was able to write down these words of inspiration at a low moment of her own life. These words tell some of the things that can cause us to become less faithful and, God forbid, lose our faith altogether. The first two lines, I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. You get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. As Christians, we are expected to keep our sense of wonder at things like the virgin birth, the miracles of Jesus, the resurrection, and the like. We are expected to hunger and thirst after righteousness that we may be filled. Sadly, there are those who profess the faith who doubt the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. They scoff at the virgin birth and downplay the miracles. This is not only true for some who sit in the pews, but also for some who preach from the pulpits of the world. But I'm here to say this morning, as Paul would, no resurrection, no faith. If we can't believe in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then Paul says our faith is vain. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, told him that the love of self and money and pleasure would cause some to depart from the faith. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. That brings me to the line which says, I hope you still feel small when you stand beside the ocean. Who wouldn't feel small standing beside the ocean? That's not what she means. I believe that one can be so puffed up with pride that everything appears small in his presence. One can have such an overinflated ego that it diminishes the size of everything else around them. I think the words of the popular song that says, you're so vain, you probably think this song is about you. A person can put so much confidence in self, in his or her accomplishments, in his or her possessions, that they think they no longer have a need for God. We live in this postmodern world where we have access to technology, advanced education. We have colleges on every high hill and schools under every green tree. And some have become so too smart for their own good. But James chapter 4 and verse 6 says, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. And in verse 10, he says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I hope you never fear those mountains in the distance, never settle for the path of least resistance. Most of us can deal with little bumps in the road of life, but it is the mountains and the distance that tend to sidetrack us. We can deal with a diagnosis of a bacterial infection for which we can take a prescription of antibiotics, but it is the cancer that needs radiation or chemotherapy that shakes our faith. We can handle not getting an expected raise on the job, but being told that the company is downsizing, that the job ends in 2 weeks, is a bitter pill to swallow that may disrupt our faith. Someone once said, when faced with a mountain, you can climb over it, walk around it, tunnel through it, or turn back. Turning back is the path of least resistance, but turning back is not an option for the Christian. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And the Hebrew writer in chapter 10 and verse 37 says, for yet a little while and the coming one will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We were visiting our grandchildren, granddaughters, down in Georgia a few weeks ago. And they were having their recital, their dance recital. And so we went out to eat after the recital, and there was such a heavy pouring shower of rain. And it rained and rained and rained, and we were just caught up in the restaurant, not knowing what to do. It was in a shopping mall, and we were parked at the very end of the parking lot. Finally, the girls got a little antsy, and they said, let's run in the rain. And I said, okay, let's run in the rain. So a little rain never hurt anybody, so we were getting soaked on the way to the car. And my little three-year-old was leading the way. But as we got close, lightning and thunder struck. It felt like a bomb went off in the parking lot. And she stopped dead in her tracks. And she looked back at Grandpa. And the fear in her face. And she started running as if to go back from where we came. But Grandpa lifted her up and said, we can't turn back. And we ran to the car, and the look on her face was priceless when she saw that she got there. And I just believe that that's the way God treats us. That, you know, sometimes we are just so close, and yet we want to turn back because things have gotten so bad. We are almost there. But I believe that God sees our fear, and he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I believe that God sees when he knows everything about us. And I believe he sees when we're in trouble and how we're handling it, and he will wrap his arms around us and take us to safety. Don't let some hell-bent heart leave you bitter. That's probably one of my favorite lines in this song. Because as we go through life, you're gonna meet some hell-bent hearts. They may be strangers, or they may be well-known to you. They may be on your jobs, in your homes, or even in the church. They will do stuff to cause you to question your faith. Think about the story of Joseph. He was sold into slavery by his own brothers. Hell-bent hearts, number one. His master's wife lied about him because he refused to sleep with her. Hell-bent heart, number two. As a result, he was put in prison where he helped out the chief cupbearer by interpreting his dream. He begged him to remember him when he was restored as the chief cupbearer to Pharaoh, so that he, Joseph, may also get out of prison. But the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Hell-bent heart number three. But in all this, Joseph, being a God-fearing man, did not get bitter. When he was reunited with his brothers, they feared he would harm them for what he did to them. But instead, he helped them and told them, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Things can go so well for you that you forget who you are, whose you are, and who got you to where you are. You forget the God who was with you all the way and turn to worldly affairs. Sunday morning is no longer a time to meet with the people of God for worship, for it clashes with your tea time at the golf course. You forget about the new life you have in Christ because you have a new life in pleasure. That, my friends, is selling out. Let me remind you of some, at least one of the songs that you sang when you became a new Christian. Remember the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? No turning back. No turning back. And you sang it with so much confidence, "Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back." And little problems of this life cause you to turn back. Amen. Moses could have sold out, but he didn't. Moses was living in Pharaoh's household, enjoying all that was available in a king's palace, but chose to be with God's people, even if it meant being in an uncomfortable position. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 to 26, we read, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." The three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could have sold out and bowed down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue in worship. After all, they had positions of privilege, but they chose only to worship the God of heaven rather than a false god. They chose to be thrown in a fiery furnace rather than bow down to a false god. You know the story. They didn't bow and they didn't burn. A fourth man showed up in the furnace whose form was like the Son of God, and the fire didn't burn them, nor was the smell of smoke on their clothing. That ought to get you to jump up and down. Not even the smell of smoke was on their clothing. Daniel could have sold out. He was a high official in King Darius's kingdom, but he refused to obey the king's ordinance and prayed to his God three times a day with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed for all to see. And so he was put in the lion's den. But an angel of the Lord stopped the mouths of the lions. These men stayed in faith and were delivered. We too are called to stay in faith. We are called to give faith a fighting chance so that we may reap the reward. Brothers and sisters, friends, when you get the choice, to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. Amen. I hope you dance. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this day and its blessings. We're grateful, O God, for the love of your Son Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we don't let the Spirit be quenched in us. Let not that fire go out in us, Father, But let us remember and stay the course. Let us have confidence in the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we may go forth with steadfast endurance. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Let us rise for benediction. And now may the grace of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all, now and forevermore. Now go forth and fight. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. We are located at 48 East 80th Street in New York City. To hear previous podcasts, visit our website at www.manhattanchurch.org.